And so I know Shannon was able to preach on Wednesday night because Pastor Dan's been struggling with his voice and stuff. So I went online to listen to it, and he says, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16, and the preacher's worst nightmare hit. He's preaching from what I'm preaching. Well, fortunately, he stopped at the verse right before the verse I'm going to start with tonight. So you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So I'm still going to preach on what I planned on. I don't have to switch it up now. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know, this really is a great text when it comes to missions. Many times we talk about Paul as one of the greatest or the founder of, you know, missions in worldwide evangelism. And what I want to challenge the church tonight in is missions. It's critical and it's refreshing. I think it's neat that Jimmy had mentioned just how refreshing it is when people come and visit from churches back in the States, because that's something I want to talk about tonight, is the role that we play in missions. But to give you a little bit of background on missions and some history, today, October 14th, in the year 1829, this is what happened today in the history of missions. Well, on October 14th, 1829, Alexander Duff, the first missionary of the Church of Scotland to India, sailed from London to Calcutta aboard the Lady Holland. The ship was wrecked near Cape Town, South Africa, and the Duffs lost everything except the clothes on their backs and their Bible and their psalm book. In May, 8 months and another shipwreck later, they finally arrived in Calcutta, praising God for the hardships. Duff founded an English-speaking college in which the Bible was the chief textbook. And by 1844, he had 1,000 students. You want to talk about faithfulness to missions, going through hardships, but willing to persevere through them. But let me ask you this, church. When you hear the word mission, what do you think of? I mean, think of all the things that may come to mind with the word mission. Sometimes we think about a mission where people will go to be fed. Sometimes we think about a mission as something that's been handed to an individual to carry out a task. If you go and you look at the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the definition for a mission is persons sent, any number of persons appointed by authority to perform any service, particularly the persons sent to propagate religion or evangelize the heathen. Thought that was interesting that the Webster dictionary tied in the fact that it's persons sent, and those persons are sent or appointed by an authority. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians and flip forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because when I read that definition, this verse came to mind. 2 Corinthians 5 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And within this text, we see in verse 20, the Apostle Paul, he writes this to the church there in Corinth. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Two key words there Paul uses. He says ambassadors, those are representatives, somebody who's been sent forth. And he says that they've been, or he says there in verse 20, as though God did beseech you. That word beseech literally means to appoint. And so really, if we think of it in missions in a bigger picture, anybody who is a believer in Christ is, in God's eyes, a missionary. Everybody has the call, so to speak, according to verse 20. We've been appointed. God has beseeched us to be ambassadors, representatives of Jesus Christ. Missions in, you know, it's so much more than somebody leaving their home country to reach the lost. You know, thank the Lord for families like the Dinsmores, willing to go to places like Guatemala, where, as he said, they found out there was 1,500 villages, not just people, but villages. And each village usually represents between 60 to 100 people. But 15 villages who've never heard of the gospel. And they're there to make sure that it gets there. Well, missions is far more than just people leaving their country to reach the lost. It's really leaving your personal life, your personal wants and desires to go and share the truth of God's grace to others. Think about missions in your own community. I think of Brother Wade and Brother Glenn Rowden. I mean, they take time out of their life to go to the prison. I know Seminole County, they go out there and they share the gospel with those that are in prison. You know what? That is a mission. In a sense, they are missionaries going to reach those people in need in the prisons. We think about it in our own country, you know, not just our community, but even in our country, every workplace is a mission. Every school is a mission. Every neighborhood is a mission. And so missions, when we say worldwide, a lot of times we put our mind in Africa, China, South America, you know, and we think of all those areas. But really, when we say worldwide missions, don't forget, it is worldwide. As far as North Korea, as close as your neighbor, and everywhere in between. And missionaries are everywhere, but not always supported by some missions board. In fact, think about the early missionaries. The Apostle Paul did not have a missions board to go through. He didn't have somebody that was going to help oversee his funds coming in and make sure that he was able to get out and be equipped with what he needed. He didn't have that. In fact, who knows how long before the first missions board actually came along. Really, what missions boards were made up of back then were churches supporting the missionaries, like Paul when he left Antioch. And that was really sort of his missions board, is what we would think of a mission board today, who helps with their finances and organizing things for them and really just being a support to them. But they had people, they had churches supporting their desire through prayer, finances, and personal encouragement to reach the lost. So church, this is what I want to tell us tonight, and I want us to be able to leave here tonight, is understanding that every believer, every person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has a vital role to play in supporting those who spread the gospel. It may be your neighbor. It may be your family member. It may be a missionary through our church. But we all have a vital role to play in supporting missions. We could go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and look when he says that now, then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, Paul saying, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Doing what? He said in verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's worldwide. Missions is worldwide. So why is it so important to personally be involved in missions? This is what I want us to think about tonight. Why is it so important to personally be involved with missions? A lot of times when we think missions, we think, I give in the offering plate, my giving to missions each week or each month or however it might be. But you know what? In church, I'm not knocking that. That is extremely, incredibly important. But that's not always personal. A personal investment. I know it can be argued that it's a personal investment, but I want you to think for a minute about not your finances as much as yourself. Let's look at the results of what personal involvement in missions does. Go back to 1 Corinthians 16. We've looked at this passage a couple of times, and we've heard of this house of Stephanas. But there was more than Stephanas there, because in verse 16... Paul says that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And he's speaking of those in the house of Achaia, in the house of Stephanas, the first fruits of Achaia. But look at verse 17. This is where I want us to focus tonight, on verses 17 and 18. Paul says, I am what? Glad. He says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and I always say it perfect when I'm sitting in my office. I get up here and I butcher every single one of them. Fortunatus and Achaicus. He says, for that which was lacking on your part, they have what? Supplied. Now, not everybody in the church at Corinth could pack up and go see Paul. But these three could. What the church and those at the church couldn't do, these three came and represented. And Paul says that he was glad of their coming. Paul's words here, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. And it's interesting when you look at these names, these are side notes, when you're studying, don't just skip over things and not really give them any thought. I went and I searched out these names. That name Stephanas actually means crowned. Thought that was neat. Stephanas, who we saw in verse 15 in the house of Stephanas, and we see how important he is. And he says in verse 16 that we should strive to be like these guys. Stephanus, meaning crowned. Fortunatus means fortunate. And then Achaeus, this guy really must have been awesome because his name was actually, means from Achaia. Got it? Thank you, Miss Connie. I read that, I thought, how cool, I wish I had got this before because instead of naming Jacob, I would have named him, Daytonicus. I mean, that sounds so much neater than Jake, but I don't know how he would get, Day would be short for Daytonicus, but anyhow. But Daytonicus, I mean, he was from Daytona. So anyhow, side note, thought it was cool. But here Paul says in verse 18, look at this. Speaking of these three that came to see him, he says, for they have what? Refreshed my spirit. Paul says, they have refreshed my spirit. He didn't say what they brought refreshed my spirit. He didn't say the food, the finances, whatever. He said, they have refreshed my spirit. Even through this church at Corinth that was taking a stern rebuke from Paul here in 1 Corinthians because of the news that they had brought, he's telling them what a blessing it was for these men to be there with him. You know, this church must have also seen the need to send them to Paul. They sent these individuals, and it wasn't just people like Stephanus and Achaeus and Fortunatus. Flip over, hold your place right here, but flip back to Romans 16, the last chapter there in the book of Romans, right before 1 Corinthians. There's another individual here Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, was at Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea is about 7 miles from Corinth. It's a port city. It's where the ships usually would dock to bring things into Corinth. And so Cenchrea was right there. And for all we know, Phoebe may have been some part of the church, known the church. But she had gone to visit with Paul, to be an encouragement to Paul. And he says in verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, or need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and he says, and of myself also. She was a blessing. She was an encouragement. That word means helper. And she was sent from a church very near to Corinth. We also know that the church at Philippi had sent individuals to Paul. Go back, keep your place there in 1 Corinthians, but flip forward to the book of Philippians. I want you to see this one. These individuals have gone to Paul because they saw a need. And the churches, like at Philippi, recognized Paul's need and sent individuals. And the people in church today need to desire to personally get involved. These individuals were personally getting involved with the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, look what it says. Paul's speaking of one Epaphroditus who was sent. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. He was sent from Philippi to see Paul, your messenger, and he that ministered to what? My wants. He came and he ministered to Paul. Flip over to chapter 4, look at verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This church was looking to be an encouragement and a help to Paul. And Paul, before he ever got to 18 and mentioned the gift, he mentioned what encouragement Epaphroditus was to be there. I think is extremely fitting. I didn't call Jimmy and prep him on what to say in the Skype. But when he was talking about what an encouragement it is when somebody comes and sits down, and how much for granted we take sitting down at a restaurant with a bunch of English-speaking people that we all know well and enjoy that fellowship. Sure, the food can be good, but man, the fellowship is always so much sweeter. And that's what our missionaries enjoy when people go on the field to be there with them, to sit down, to spend time personally investing in them. Local and foreign missions is not easy. And I don't want us to get in the box again of, well, we're really talking about anybody outside of the country. We're not. I mean, I could have Brother Wade come up and he'd share testimony of how difficult it can be in those prisons. When you're walking in those prisons sometimes, I mean, you're walking in as an outsider. There's an emotional drain. Think about it. Away from family and friends to set out to be that ambassador for the Lord. It can be draining to be around your family too, but think about how much draining it can be when you're away from them for a long time. And in those kind of environments, when you're going out to seek to reach people for Christ, because you're not going to churches to seek people for Christ. You're typically in areas where there's going to be some hostility. Think about being away from the culture that you're accustomed to. In Guatemala, we had to get used to being in areas where sometimes there was no toilet. And even when there was a toilet, we had to get accustomed to the fact that you're not allowed to flush toilet paper. There's culture shock, especially for teenagers. The guys didn't seem to mind so much, but the girls had a bigger problem with it. They thought it was disgusting. But there is an emotional drain, but there's also mental drain. Long hours of travel. I mean, just the time that we were down there with Brother Jimmy in Guatemala, the travel that we took, I mean, it would be 4 hours in a bus, sometimes 5 hours in a bus through dirt roads. And that means they're not paved. And try driving a bus, and we're talking about a minibus, down a dirt road that's going like this all the way down for miles. You know, it can be wearing just the drive alone. But then also the mental drain of the long talks trying to clear up false teaching that has just infiltrated the areas. I mean, have you ever taken time to argue with an atheist or a Jehovah's Witness? It can be draining. And how refreshing it is for a missionary to be able to sit down and talk to somebody who believes what they believe and can encourage them and let them know that somebody there understands what they're going through and is praying for them. Whether it's somebody on a foreign field or locally, the draining, the mental drain and the emotional drain is the same. What is seen in a person personally when they're right there with you lasts so much longer than what many times can be read in a letter or a text message. I do not at all want to take away and diminish the importance of sending emails and stuff like that to our missionary. But I'll tell you what, and I think everybody in here would recognize the same thing. Getting a phone call or a text message from a friend is great, but when they show up at your doorstep to spend some time with you, it means so much more. And think about it for those who have given their life to go in areas that are draining, that are emotionally draining. And so many times, those memories that they have of maybe that short period of time of a week or a few days, you know, can really sustain them for a year. They may have a letter that they can read occasionally, but man, those memories can last so much more. The personal investment is so important to those in ministry. We've got to understand that we have a role to play in missions, and one of that is getting personally involved in it. And it doesn't mean always having to go on a trip, going out of the country, but means encouraging those that we know are seeking out to reach Christ or reach others for Christ. The second thing we see is because many churches and individuals fail to see the importance of missions. I think we are blessed at Crossroads to have a church that focuses so much on the importance of getting the gospel out both locally and around the world. It's incredible to see how many missionaries we as a church, an independent church like this, how many missionaries we support. It is not normal. And there's so many churches that do not even understand the importance of missions. And individuals that don't see the importance. Look at what Paul told the church at Philippi. If you're still there, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. And now, think for a minute. Paul is writing to this church from prison. And the first time that Paul came to Philippi was on his second missionary trip. And so, he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And he says to them, chapter 4, verse 15. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." This was the only church that at this point when Paul was writing about this moment in time when he was in Macedonia, he left Macedonia on that second missions trip. He said this was the only church that communicated with him concerning the giving and receiving. The other churches that, and he had been through Ephesus, at this point Thessalonica, Colossae, and all of those, especially on his first missionary trip. And he says, "You only were the ones to communicate as I departed from Macedonia." Crossroads, we can't ever take it for granted and think, well, hey, there's other churches out there getting it done, so we can kind of taper off. That's not it. And think about your personal life. We can't just assume that, well, hey, somebody else is going to encourage brother, Brother Wade and Brother Glenn and what they're doing in the prison ministry. So I'll let them, you know, somebody else encourage them, and I'll find something else for me to do. Man, we need to always be looking. I hate always bringing up family and stuff like that because we have an incredible youth group, and so many of them will stand up and demonstrate their faith before others. But I know just last week, Caleb, my nephew, my oldest nephew, there's a Christian club at Spruce Creek High School, and they had a thing on Thursday night, and he volunteered to go and to share his testimony, and he led a song or sang a song for the group, a Christian song, just an opportunity to minister to those that were there. You know, that's a form of missions that we all are capable of doing. And we have a lot of teens that lead or at least will help get started Christian clubs in their schools. I know we've got a lot of singles that will get Bible studies together on their college campuses. I know a lot of adults that take time to have Bible studies at lunch with their coworkers. When we know people that are doing that, we need to get behind them and encourage them because that can be mentally draining. If you've ever stood up to share your testimony, you know how draining it can sometimes be, mentally and emotionally. But we've got to be committed to do it and encourage those that are doing it because not everybody will. When Paul was here in Macedonia, he had already completed those trips, and he says Philippi was the only one that was supporting him. You know, one thing I want to touch on too is think about the style of Paul's ministry and how we can apply that to our life. And it's much like what Brother Jimmy's doing in Guatemala. When Paul, we think of sometimes missionaries, we think of somebody who goes and plants themselves in a country and they become the pastor of a church there trying to reach everybody in that area. But you know, we don't see that with the Apostle Paul. Even the individuals that he trains up, we don't see him saying, hey, you need to go there, you need to establish a church, you need to be the pastor, and you need to reach everybody in that area and disciple them. In fact, what he tells them is essentially, it can be boiled down as, hey, you're there temporarily to put the people in place that need to be there in that community and move on to the next one. Did Paul ever stop in a city and just say, all right, this is where I'm going to be? No, he kept moving from city to city, establishing people in Christ, discipling them, appointing elders, bishops, and then moving on. Paul was not the missionary who was content to sit in one place and say, well, I'll just evangelize right here. He took evangelism everywhere he went, which is something we need to learn from. In fact, I'll flip over there real quick for sake of time, but over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, so here's Timothy. He leaves him in the city of Ephesus. Timothy is in Ephesus. He says this to Timothy in the letter in 1 Timothy 1, 2. He says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he's telling them and he's equipping them on how to teach and how to reach others. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says this to Timothy. In verse 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And back in 1 Timothy, after we see he's in Ephesus in 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, he gives Timothy the requirements for bishops and deacons, for pastors and deacons. And so we see the importance of missions going to city to city to reach the lost. And this is what the Dinsmores are doing. The Bible Institute, the purpose of the Bible Institute is so Jimmy can sit down there, live off the land, and enjoy life. The purpose is to equip individuals to be able to go back into their villages to live and as pastors so they don't have to worry about work. They can provide food for their family because of what they learned on the Bible Institute. But most importantly, they can provide the Word of God to the village while they're there. He's not planning to go to be the pastor. He's planning to go to equip men to be pastors of their villages. You know why? Because they know the culture and they know the community far better than Jimmy ever will. The Apostle Paul understood that. Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus, those cultures and those communities had individuals in it that knew the area far better than Paul did and could reach those people just as effectively, if not better. So Paul took them to the truth, equipped them, and trained them to be able to give it to others. You know, without good support, though, these things fail to happen. Without people encouraging those that are willing to go because it takes time and it's draining, it can't happen. And Paul wrote to encourage Timothy himself because Paul knew that it was draining. But many times we make excuses. Some of the excuses that we hear is, well, man, we just play such a small part, and I've got really plenty of other things I need to be doing and taking care of, and so we neglect to get involved. Someone else is going to help them. We just can't afford it. Time-wise, financially, whatever. And unfortunately, we lose the opportunity to encourage others who are taking the gospel out. Which leads me to my last point. The reason that it's vital that we play an important, or that we play the role in missions that we ought to be playing, is because there's a great return on the investment. Go back to 1 Corinthians 16. There is a great return on our investment into missions. Again, not just global missions, but missions, you know, I mean, not missions around the world, but I'm talking about missions in general. Anybody who's seeking to reach the lost, we need to support and encourage them. Hey, that means we ought to be doing that. People are wanting to support and encourage us too. But in 1 Corinthians 16, the Apostle Paul says in verse 18, he says, "For they have refreshed my spirit," and then what's the next two words? "And yours." Those individuals that Paul was talking about, he says, they refreshed my spirit. And I know they've refreshed yours. Because of their heart and their desire to be the encouragement to the missionary, that came out of a love and an understanding of the Lord and what Christ is doing and what Christ desires, getting the gospel out. And as a result, Paul said, look, if they're refreshing my spirit, there is no doubt in my mind that they've also refreshed yours because of the kind of people they are. They're willing to go out of their way to be an encouragement, to help, to support those who are serving in the ministry, or just willing to, they're willing to help and support those who are going to step outside of their comfort zone to reach their coworker, to reach their classmate, to reach their family, to reach their friend. Understanding that, man, it's difficult. Some of you right now are sitting next to somebody who does an incredible job at reaching their coworkers, but it's draining, it's isolating. And man, how important would it be and how encouraging would it be for somebody to put their arm around them and say, hey, I love you and I'm here and I'm praying for you. I want to support the ministry that you're in and reaching those people. I may never be able to get there, just like some of you will never go to Guatemala. But you may never go to that person next to you. You may never go to their workplace. But you can say, I support you, I encourage you, and I can pray for you. And Paul recognized that these that were refreshing to him were also refreshing to the church. And he said there in the rest of that verse, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such, that are refreshing to your spirit. Acknowledge them. Take note of them. Their investment was from a heart for Christ. You know what? They understood the grace of God. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, being Christ, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't accept the grace of God in your life and accept the price that Christ has paid for your life and then just say, I appreciate it, Lord, and you live your life just for yourself. Don't take it in vain. Do something with it. Minister and reach others for Christ and encourage those that are doing the same. You know, I think back to the many years that I have been able to sit in the church and listen to people share testimony of missions trips. I think of those that I've talked to about missions trips. The first missions trip I took to Iceland 10 years ago with Brother Tony and several others, Brother Bill Dobb. What an encouragement that trip was to me, but then how I was able to use that trip to encourage others. And personally investing ourselves in missions gives us some great tools to encourage others and to be a refreshing testimony to others. And so something that I wanted to do tonight was be able to give you the opportunity to hear somebody who's been in missions trips. Been on many missions trips, and so I'm going to have Miss Terry Lubas come up. I know she's nervous, so I'll give her a minute to walk up here. But Miss Terry Lubas, she's been to Guatemala twice with me. She's been on other missions trips herself, and I know where her heart is for missionaries and missions in general. So I just wanted her to share a little bit of her testimony and missions and the impact that it's had on her also. So Miss Terry.
I teach fourth grade students, so to make me feel a little bit comfortable, if you feel like you need to raise your hand to go to the bathroom or need to get pencils, I'd appreciate that. Seeing Brother Jimmy up there just really touched my heart again, because If you want to see scripture come to life, go on a missions trip.
Amen.
You want to see prayers answered, go on a missions trip. You want an experience, go on a missions trip with Brother Rob to Guatemala. Okay. In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul states the church should pray for the missionaries so that God's word would be effective and glorified in the lives of the believers. He also said that the missionaries needed protection from the world and from wicked men. And without the prayers of the churches, Paul and his missionary team could not do the work God called them to do. Individuals can only do so much for spreading the gospel in the world. It takes a community of believers to pray and encourage those who have left everything behind for the sole purpose of winning others to Christ. While I've never considered leaving my family or the comforts of my home to leave in a country to serve the Lord, I've met people who have. And I've never had to learn a second language in order to reach the lost, but I've been blessed to sit and listen to others who have. I've never had to learn laws and adhere to cultures of a foreign country. But fortunately, through the mission trips, I've worked alongside others who are doing just that. I'm very thankful to be a part of a church family who not only supports worldwide missions, but also really prays for those missionaries and encourages them and supports them in other ways other than just financial support. I would encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities that Crossroads gives us to be a blessing to others. And I really want to thank Crossroads for giving me the opportunity to serve alongside the Densmores and being a part of that trip. And being able to work alongside the teens and seeing how hard they work, you come back a changed person. You don't look at the lost the same way. You don't look at missions the same way. There's a sense of urgency that we've got a lot of work to do, and we can only do it if we do it together.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Thank you. I'm going to do something else that if you want to come down. I'm going to be honest. I just talked to Brother Bill right before the service because as I was thinking about this last point, I was thinking about the impact that we can have on others for the mission trips that we've been on. And getting involved in missions, again, whether it be stepping outside of your comfort zone to help a coworker, or I mean help somebody with a coworker that they're trying to lead to the Lord, or to help somebody with a family member, you know, it puts us sometimes in a place where we can have some opposition or some stress. And I know Brother Bill went on a missions trip to New York a year ago, and then, or 2 years ago, and then I asked him if he wasn't busy, would he want to go on a missions trip to Guatemala? And but I want Brother Bill to just to share a little bit with you on how missions has kind of impacted his life and just touched him as far as, because I know even though you do sleep a lot on missions trips, he only found time to sleep when it was appropriate, so I'll give you that. But the man worked hard, but being able to sit with Brother Bill and talk and hear how missions has impacted his life, I just wanted him to share that with the church because it's just like these guys, Stephanus and all, you know, he was able to be a refreshing blessing to Jimmy, I know, because Jimmy shared that with me, but it can also be a refreshing blessing to the church. So Bill, would you just share with the church a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, I was thinking when you first mentioned to me that there is absolutely no way that I could really explain to you the change that going on a mission trip make. I know those of you that have been on a missions trip are pleasantly surprised and extraordinarily changed after going and seeing, you know, we get to such a good comfort level here and we get into a place of having the luxury of having a beautiful building like Crossroads and a beautiful property where we can learn God's word and fellowship with others. And when you see Jim and Shelley and you see people that they are, as Terry said, the pages of the Bible come to life because you're seeing people that are, they're right on the front line and they're dealing with things every day. And just like when you read in what the apostles were going through and the challenges that they faced, and you see firsthand what a missionary has to do in the field, and nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. Like Pastor Rob talked about the roads and just when we were talking about the little plants that we planted there, and you see mud that you can't even shake off of a post hole digger. It's like Satan is fighting these people every step of the way. And, you know, there's nothing more, I don't know, I'm just at a loss for words, but I can tell you that when Pastor Rob first mentioned to me, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I don't have any desire to go to Guatemala, I don't have a desire to go on a missions trip, I don't have a desire to really come out of that comfort zone and fly on a plane there, but I'll tell you that I will definitely go back there again, and I also want to say that not only for people like Jim and Shelley, which is an extreme eye-opener, because like they mentioned to Pastor Rob, and I heard that on the New York trip too, that I think we don't realize what they give up and what it's like to be in a place where your friends and your family are not readily there. You just can't sit down with people and talk to them and feel comfortable with the fellowship that we get, and we sometimes take for granted here, you know, like if it's mm-hmm. raining or it's cold or I don't feel well, I have an ache and I don't want to go to church, and we see people that get bussed in from their villages and they have to do it secretly. Mm-hmm. They walk out of their villages and Jimmy sends a bus to pick them up and drive them back, and they know that if they get caught, that they'll get cast out of their village, you know, they'll get cast out. And to go to a city where there was no talk of Christ and nobody was saved, and you go back and visit the place that you had gone to 2 years ago and find out there are 12 families that are saved now, and they're raising their children to be Christians, and you see the plan that Jimmy has, again, seeing the page of the Bible come to life, that he's equipping and discipling people to go out there through that Bible Institute and go out and spread the word of Christ to the villages and get people in each village to be pastors, and it's just incredible. So I just want to say in closing that if you ever had a thought of going on a trip if it's in the back of your mind, please do it, because you will get enriched spiritually, and you will actually, it's just amazing. It really is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. You know, and with that, I just want to close by just saying that, you know, missions is critical to the furtherance of the gospel. Missions in our local church, missions across the world. And when I say missions, again, I'm not talking about just people that go out of the country. I'm talking about people who go out of their way, out of their comfort zones even, on the scale of witnessing to a coworker, witnessing to a friend at school, witnessing to a family member who you know is, you know, agnostic or is going to be turned off with what you have to say, but you're willing to do it to encourage each other. Encourage those that are willing to do it. Let them be an encouragement and turn to you. Because I'll tell you what, listening to those, I know one of the other leaders that went on the trip with me, Miss Kim, and she, what a blessing it was to have her on that trip. It was great to have two people from law enforcement go with us. That was always a bonus. But Kim Woodard was just an incredible blessing, and I know that she had just voiced about just how impacting that is to see what people go through. But really, we ought to think about it many times. Why is it we don't share the gospel? A lot of times it's our comfort zone. And how incredible it is to see our missionaries that are willing to leave the country to get out of that comfort zone to get the gospel out. We just need to make sure that we understand how critical it is that we support the furtherance of the gospel, whether it be in our community, in our country, or outside of our country, and do everything we can to not allow our schedules to be too busy, our insecurities to get in the way, or our fears to get in the way from keeping us from encouraging others and doing it ourselves and being a blessing and testimony to those around us. You know, doesn't Christ deserve our total surrender to get out the good news? He most certainly does. He bought us with a price, and therefore we should glorify Him with our life, both in our word and our deed and everything in between. So church, if you would tonight, would you bow your heads with me, and let's just close with a word of prayer tonight.